Our message tonight is out of Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. That's the passage we'll be using. There are associated passages, Matthew 8, 28 to 34, and Luke 8, 26 to 39. Christ's display of his divine power over demons. If Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God, true deity, come in the flesh, that identity should have become evident in his encounter with a demonic realm that is so contrary to God and is under Satan's powerful control. Christ's display of his divine power and authority over demons is displayed in his exorcism of the extreme case of the demoniac in Matthew 8, 28 to 34, Mark 5, 1 to 20, where we're going to be spending our time, and Luke 8, 26 through 39. So we view the event for our insight. I do want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. And they came unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Actually, he bowed down to him, and cried out with a loud voice, and said, What do I have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Jesus was saying unto him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, What is your name? And he answered, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away from the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of pigs feeding, and all the demons besought him, saying, Send us into the pigs, that we may enter into them. And Jesus forthwith gave them leave, or permitted them. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the pigs, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000, and they were choked or drowned in the sea. And they that fed the pigs fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had been done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the demon and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the demon and also concerning the pigs. And they began to pray him or request to him to depart from their land. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the demon prayed unto him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus did not permit him, but said unto him, Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, that's 10 towns in the area, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Jesus displayed his divine authority and power in saving the demoniac from strong demonic possession. Having crossed the sea, Jesus landed on the shore of the area of Gerasa, in which was the city of Gerish, one of the 10 cities of Decapolis, east of the Sea of Galilee, that were mostly populated by Gentiles. Decapolis is composed of two words, deca, which means 10, and polis means town or city. So there were town cities. The whole area was called Decapolis. Now Christ was immediately met by a demoniac who came out of the cave tombs of the area. The man was in a terrible state. He had often broken chains others had put on him to restrict his violence. No one could tame him, and he dwelt in the hills and the tombs, always crying out and cutting himself with stones as Satan sought to destroy God's image in him. See, Satan hates man just like he hates God, because man is in the image of God. So Satan will try to destroy a human being. And if demons possess a human being, they'll try to destroy him emotionally, mentally, try to destroy his relationships, try to destroy him physically, spiritually, every way they can to destroy. And this is an extreme case, obviously. But it also shows that a person can be demon-possessed by more than one being. there were at least 2,000. It could be as many as 6,000 because a legion had up to 6,000 soldiers in it. So this was a desperate case. The demoniac ran and bowed before Jesus, revealing the demon's recognition of Christ's power and authority over them. And he cried out with a loud voice that he had nothing to do with Jesus, Son of the Most High God. It's interesting, the term the Most High God was an ancient term that referred to God, and it was used by pagans in the area. But they did recognize that as the Creator God. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Melchizedek referred to Abraham as a believer in the Most High God, El Elyon, and that was very typical. So it's a very ancient name. The demons in the man led him to implore Jesus by God for Jesus not to torture them before the final punishment. These demons were terrified of the Lord Jesus because they knew that he was God. They could recognize the spirit in him. It was the spirit of the Son of God as well as the human spirit, and they knew who he was. And see, Jesus is the one. God the Father has given all judgment into the hand of the Son. So Jesus is the one who's going to be sitting on the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. And all unbelievers, in verse 10, all unbelievers will stand before him. And of course, Christ is the one who's going to be casting the demons and Satan into the abyss and into the lake of fire. So they were terrified. Mark 5:8 explains that Jesus was constantly telling the demons to leave the man, revealing that there was a fluctuation between the personality of the man and the demons who possessed him in this event. This is, incidentally, very common in demon possession. We ran into demonic possession when my parents were in Africa. And often a person who's demon-possessed, sometimes the demon is speaking through him, sometimes the person is speaking. And the person often is begging for help, but the demon takes over and kicks in. And that's what was happening. There was a fluctuation. So Jesus was constantly commanding the demons to come out. And that's very interesting. Well, Jesus asked the demon who spoke for his name. And the demon replied that his name was Legion, for we are many. A legion was the largest unit in a Roman army that was composed of 3,000 to 6,000 men. What reveals that many demons possess this man. Now, we know that there were at least 2,000, because of the herd of swine that was killed, there were at least 2,000 swine. So there were at least 2,000 in this man. There probably a whole lot. It could have been as many as 6,000 demons within this man. And there might have been a couple demons per pig. You know, it might have been two or three demons per pig that took them off down the track. Well, the demons all earnestly begged Jesus not to send them out of the region into a lonely exile where they could not torment people, but to enter a nearby herd of pigs. The area's large Gentile population made raising pigs a profitable venture, regardless if pigs were unclean for the Hebrews to eat. You'll remember in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 4, Moses gave direction on what foods not to eat. And in verse 7, one of those foods was a pig, because it had a cloven hoof, but it didn't chew the cud, so it was an unclean animal. So there's no way that they should have been raising an entire herd of pigs in the land of Israel. But you got a lot of Gentiles there, and a lot of Gentiles will eat pork on that side of the Sea of Galilee. So the demons' petition to enter the pigs that they might destroy them was meant to disrupt Jesus' ministry to Jews. If Jesus forbade the demons from entering the pigs, they could charge him with the sin of violating the law's prohibition of raising pigs for food. But if he let them enter the pigs to kill them, that would offend area Gentiles, disrupting Jesus' ministry there to Gentiles. So you see what the demons were doing. Demons were very shrewd. They're very smart and cruel. And so they were trying everything they could to disrupt Jesus. They thought they were trying to corner him. Well, Jesus could not condone the sin of violating the law's dietary restrictions, so he gave the demons permission to enter into the herd. So they left the demoniac, They entered the herd of about 2,000 pigs and made them rush violently down a steep bank into the Sea of Galilee, where they drowned. Demons can have tremendous influence over animals as well as human beings. There was a case that we knew of, I think it had happened in Africa. The missionaries were giving the gospel, and the witch doctor didn't like the fact that they were giving the gospel, so he called poisonous snakes to come out of the jungle and surround the missionaries' home, and they did. And they coiled up like they were getting ready to strike. And the missionaries, they couldn't get out. So they went to prayer about it, and as a result of the prayer, the snakes uncoiled and went back into the jungle. And then the missionaries were able to get out and to minister to the gospel. So this is very, very real. And it's a very real battle that occurred. So the animals ran down the steep embankment and they were drowned. Well, Jesus then displayed his divine authority and power over overcoming the demons' effort to disrupt his ministry. They were trying to disrupt his ministry. Well, the herdsmen fled the scene. They reported the herd's demise to the area people, who then came out and saw the former untamed demoniac sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and it frightened the people. This is interesting. When the Spirit of God saves an individual, instead of being wild, he's controlled. Instead of being untamed, he's under control. Instead of being, awkwardly clothed and everything. This man was clothed. He hadn't been clothed before. And he was in his right mind, and he was sitting. He's quiet. He's at peace. It's the product of the Holy Spirit. Very different from the demonic realm. And, of course, this frightened the people because they didn't know how to read this. This is a man who had been unusually wild. When the people then understood the full story of the exorcism and what had happened to the herd of pigs, the people who were largely Gentiles began to beg Jesus to leave their area. They didn't want any other herds hurt. You can see this. So they wanted Jesus out. Well, Jesus then used the former demoniac to counter the effort of the demons to discredit his ministry among the area Gentiles. Jesus did not let the healed men go with him, but he told them to return to his family and friends and testify of the great things that God had done for him. That's Mark 5:18 and 19. So the man left and testified throughout Decapolis. That's all 10 cities there, or the 10 towns in that area. The great things that Jesus had done for him, and all who heard it marveled. Now I want to skip ahead to Mark chapter 7, verse 31, and show you how the Lord used this to turn everything around. Mark chapter 7. Verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. He's going on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee again. All right? And skipping down, we're still in Decapolis. Notice chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own house, they will faint on the way, for divers of them came from a distance. And his disciples answered him, from whence can we satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. Commanded the people to sit down on the ground, took the 7 loaves, gave thanks and broke and gave them to his disciples and set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before them as well. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left, or 7 broken loaves that were left, 7 baskets. The word for basket here is a large basket. It's the basket in which the size of which they let the Apostle Paul down over the wall of Damascus. So it's a huge rope basket. There's 7 of them. So there was a lot more bread left over with this. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. So what you've got is you have a tremendous change in the people. Instead of asking Jesus to get out of the area, as a result of the testimony of this demoniac who was saved, when Jesus came back to the area, crowds of people thronged around him. And he was ministering, and he fed 7,000. Now, they only counted men in those days, so they had to multiply that a number of times over to include the families, the women and the children. So there might have been at least, 28,000 people, 30,000 people. It's very, very possible that that was the case. So what the Lord did, he used this man. So after Jesus had returned to the region of Decapolis, he miraculously fed a large crowd of 4,000 men there, which included women and children. The transformed demoniac's testimony had eventually opened the door for Jesus' continued and effective ministry that once had been closed in that area. It was now predominantly Gentile. So you see the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only had powers over the demons to cast them out, he had power over the demonic effort to try to obstruct his ministry. He turned it around, and he used the life of this changed man to do it. So Jesus displayed his divine power and his authority to exorcise the demoniac of Decapolis and to overcome demonic efforts to disrupt his effective ministry there. So what we need to do is to believe that Jesus Christ is not only God, but rest in his sovereignty over demons and their harmful effects. Now, it's interesting. We're getting reports increasingly from people who are openly telling other people that they are pagans. Okay, we didn't used to hear about this 20, 30 years ago. But there are children who are going to public schools now, and their parents are saying, we're pagans, and they're trying to assert their authority and their freedom and everything. And so I wouldn't be surprised if in the future we're running more into demonic activity in Connecticut. Now, we always run into demonic activity in serving the Lord, but I mean, it's going to be a lot more overt, and it may even be possible that we may be running into people who are demon-possessed. That may happen, within the next 20, 30 years. I don't know. But we can always rest assured that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is more powerful than that. We've seen tremendous changes that have occurred in third world countries where missionaries have gone and taken the gospel with them. And under the power of the Lord, and especially through prayer, there's tremendous victory that is available if we rely upon the Lord. We've had people who've come to our church, and this is years ago. They're not in our church now. But they have been saved out of transcendental meditation. I don't know if you're familiar with transcendental meditation. What you do, you put yourself in a lotus position. This is the yoga position. You cross your legs and everything, and your hands. And you let whatever thought comes into your mind come into your mind, and that's how they get involved in demons. And they actually saw in meetings where people in the lotus position would actually rise up off the floor and float about the room. That's all demonic activity. In fact, it scared them enough that they fled out of that situation. Then they came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they started coming to Nipong Church. And they were in our church for a while. They're now moved on to other ministries and whatnot. But it was really something for them to testify about how God has made a tremendous difference in their lives. So we never should be afraid of demons. We have a Savior who's much more powerful over them, and he's over them. He's now ruling over them in heaven. But what we need to do is make sure that we are in right relationship with the Lord and that we are looking to him and for his power. And he will work wonders for us, but we need to trust the Lord.